Good morning. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in at Illinois Public Media to take a look at what's been happening at the CME Group in Chicago. But a quick look at the weather forecast as we head to a high of 80 degrees today under partly sunny skies. We'll have a south wind at 7 to 10 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 17. And then this evening, mostly cloudy skies and a low of 63. Southeast winds at 6 to 8. A complete look at the agricultural weather forecast always comes to you, by the way, during the closing market report about 32 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time in Chicago. At this hour, futures are higher in the corn pit. September up 4 at 367 and 3 quarters. December is 4 higher in the corn pit as well at 379. That's the new crop in July, up 4 and a quarter at 401 and a quarter. September beans are 5 and a quarter at $8.90 and 3 quarters higher. November at 884 and 3 quarters, up 5 and a half at this hour, the harvest month. January up 5 and a quarter. March up 5 and 3 quarters. July up 5 and a half. Next year's November up 8 and a quarter. Bean meal $1.10 lower. Bean oil is 68 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat in the September lead option down 2 at 482 and a quarter. July at 506 is 3 quarters lower. The hard red July down 2 cents at this hour. Live cattle futures in the August are 45 cents higher at $145.10. October at 143.32 and a half are up 77 and a half. The September feeder cattle $1.55 higher at $201.90, and the October lean hogs for the morning at $66.55 are now trading just about 50 cents lower. Mike Zuzlow is on the phone line. He is in Atchison, Kansas at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Good morning, Mike. Thanks first for being a guest on Commodity Week last night when we recorded. I appreciate that a lot.
Oh, it's always great to talk to you and all the other commodity people out there and analysts out there, Todd. I think that show, it just continues to thrive because of the quality programming you put together. And I'm excited because I'm going to bring some of my 90-plus degree temperatures from Kansas over to Decatur next Thursday. So you and I will be in that beautiful non-air-conditioned tent just drinking water all day long.
Yeah, we will be over at the Farm Progress Show. People can drop by. We're going to do Commodity Week Live. You'll be on again next week because you will be there Thursday. We're going to do that live from the Farm Progress Show site on Thursday afternoon. Commodity Week always airs on Friday afternoon on the home radio station, WILL AM 580, but it's already up on the website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. We talked quite a bit last night about the macroeconomics. That's really been the driving force this week with China and its collapse, relatively speaking, and the move of the Dow Jones Industrial Average sharply lower, at least for a while this week. What's the final impact, do you suppose, going to be on commodities? It looks like corn and soybeans might be able to manage a turnaround by the end of the week.
I don't think there's any doubt that the commodity supply bear who is exiting the market today and yesterday, especially in the energy pits, is looking at the fact that the U.S. GDP yesterday, Todd, for the second quarter, the second reading for the second quarter, came in at over 3% and actually was about almost 1.5% better than the prior reading. So 3.7% for the second quarter, I think, reinvigorated and rebuilt the confidence that the global demand is there. I think that was what the hallmark of the Chinese stock market failure, for lack of a better word, and the policy failure by the leaders of China showed us is that the global demand is still very much alive and well. Europe has had some pretty decent economic news. Japan had good economic news last night as well. So the three main engines that keep China's economy running and transforming from more qualitative growth against the more quantitative they've had the past decade, it seems to be very strong still and at least intact at the very least. And I think this is why the crude oil is up almost, I think, 16% from high to low on the week. And we've also seen a very strong move above last week's high of 42.90. It's going to be important we stay above that. You know, we've heard this saying, it's not over till the fat lady sings. And I think in the crude oil pits today and the electronic trade today, it's not over till the fat quant lady sings.
Yeah, so roughly speaking, and I don't remember and didn't look up the low for crude oil, but we're up something between $5 and $6 from the low earlier in this week, which is a pretty good move in crude oil.
Well, yeah, and I would say 37.75 was that low, and we're we're banging on a $9 gain if we can go back to 45, which we just touched in the October lead month future. So very nice surge, and it's nice to see the New York crude oil leading the Brent crude futures in Europe. And it's also nice to see on a percentage basis, crude oil is far outpacing the dollar gains today. That's a big key here.
You mentioned global demand. Did you mean global demand for commodities like crude and corn and soybeans, or global demand for Chinese goods that would be exported out of that country, or both?
Yeah, great distinction. What I'm really getting at is China's economy really faltering and failing? Can they meet their 7% target or come in just a shade underneath that? And so I'm really talking about global demand itself, with China being the center of the stage. I mean, obviously, they were the rocket ship in the past decade. If they slow down too much, it's going to hurt commodity demand overall. But just to give you a statistic, and one I talked about on Commodity Week yesterday, is finished gasoline production for this country a week ago, or almost a week and a half ago on the report by Department of Energy, was an all-time record high. And so I think we have extremely strong demand in major sectors that really matter. And I think the protein sector is a major key to that. Ellen and I spoke to that on Commodity Week yesterday as well. The hog market's going to finish up, if it stays where it's at, around 8% on the week this week. And that's an indication that the global commodity demand, natural resource demand, yes, it's oversupply, but we probably priced that in, and demand is being attracted at these price levels.
Now, I want to bring that directly to the grains and the oilseeds in particular, because USDA in the August WASD said that China will import 55 million more bushels in this coming fiscal year, starting September 1, than it did last year, and that world trade would be up 140 million bushels. The marketplace has not acted like that. Now, given all of that, they did lower the U.S. total number of exports for soybeans in August as well. Do you think China will really begin to turn the import dollars on and start buying U.S. soybeans?
I think they will, either through the pork market or through the bean market in general. I mean, Smithfield came out this week with their January to June pork exports to China being up 45%, even in light of the West Coast pork strike and shutdown for a better part of 2 months. I think China is at a point ecologically, in terms of their pollution, in terms of their water and air pollution specifically, they're going to be very unlikely to be able to grow their own food at this stage of the game to feed that middle class, Todd.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I look forward to talking with you again this afternoon and seeing you next week over at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur.
Be great to see you and all the other analysts and all the great people in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and all around the country. It's a great show.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Mike. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the mid-morning market report to take a look at what's been happening in the overnight and current trade from the CME Group in Chicago. Again, corn futures are about 2 to 3 higher at this hour. Soybeans are up 4 to 5 cents from the September to the July of next year. Wheat futures are up, or rather down, about 3, 3.5 cents, and the soft red hard down 2 to 3. Bean meal is 90 cents lower. Bean oil is up 60 cents. Live cattle futures are up around 35 cents in the lead. Most of the rest of them up around $1 for the morning. Feeder cattle also $1.65 to $2 higher. Lean hogs are down 42 cents in the nearby contracts. Energies, crude oil for the day. We talked a little bit about it's been down to $37.75 this week, but now trading around $44. And Mike says around 45 is the top. So we'll see where that heads for the day. And that's up $1.48. September ethanol is 0.4 cents higher at $1.43.2. The wholesale price of gasoline, RBOB, at $1.49.3 is 3.6 cents higher. And diesel fuel at $1.54.4 is up 4.8 cents. Natural gas on the day at $2.70.4. That's up 4 cents. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is 98 points lower at 16,556. The U.S. dollar, a measure of how it's looking against other currencies, at 95.94. That's up 0.28. And the gold futures at $1,133.25 are $11 and a nickel higher. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Find us online at will.illinois.edu, our ag programming at willag.org. We're on our way to 70, or rather 80 degrees for the day. Under partly sunny skies with a south wind at about 7 to 10 miles an hour, it will gust all the way to 17 for the afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 63, southeast winds at 6 to 8, and then tomorrow, a 40% chance of rainfall, partly sunny, a high of 81, south-southeast winds tomorrow 3 to 8, and Saturday night, that 40% chance of rainfall continues, mostly cloudy and a low of 64. Winds will turn to the east at 6 miles an hour. On Sunday, partly sunny skies and 83. More ag programming at the top of each hour.